Hello and welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on Batflips_nerds on Twitter and Facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds. I'm your host, Darius Austin, and joining me on this episode is a very special guest, all the way from Australia. It's Sydney Blue Sox pitcher and Team GB member, Vaughan Harris. Vaughan, how are you doing?
I'm really well, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thank you for coming on to talk to us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Cool. So we've actually brought you on because we've got some World Baseball Classic related chat that we want to get into later. But I kind of wanted to start with how you got into baseball. What was your start? When did you first start playing and how did that progress?
Baseball for me started as a kid, actually. I was probably 7 or 8 when I started, just following my brothers, basically. Both my older brothers played, and as a younger brother, you just end up copying, you know, what your older brothers do. So that's how I started playing.
And was that at the age, sort of quite early on in your life? Or?
Yeah, I started playing t-ball as a 7-year-old, I think. So, you know, been going for nearly 30 years now, I guess, if you factor in the t-ball years.
So lifelong commitment to the game then.
Yeah, I don't think there's had been too much time off. There was possibly a 12-month period after I finished my college baseball, which I didn't play. But that's generally it since I was a 7-year-old. So it really has been a lifelong thing for me.
And where did you play at college? Was that in Australia?
College baseball in the States. I played at a small junior college east of LA, so it was out in Hemet, Mount San Jacinto College. Spent 2 years there, and prior to that, I played high school baseball in Southern California as well. So that was good fun. So 3 years in total.
And what was the standard like at college there? What other teams were you playing? Was there anyone that we would be familiar with that you played with or against?
College ball was definitely an eye opener. It was I learned a lot. Let's put it that way. It was tough going. You know, metal bats. My first exposure to playing, you know, every day and all those sort of things. So I learned a lot. I did okay. Didn't do too well, but like I said, I improved a hell of a lot as a player. My arm got stronger. Velocity went up as a pitcher. All those sort of things happened, which was a huge thing. As far as players go. My high school catcher, actually, Chris Stewart, who is now with the Pittsburgh Pirates, he's the backup catcher there. So that's sort of my mini claim to fame there. So, but being a small junior college, there wasn't too many guys that got drafted. There was one or two, and they didn't last too long in the minor league. So, Chris Stewart is probably my biggest name that I can drop there.
That's a pretty good connection to the major leagues there.
Yeah.
Could you tell that Chris at the time, did you think that he would be at that level?
Yeah, it's a funny story, actually. He, to answer your question, yeah, he was pretty outstanding. He kind of fell into catching. He was our shortstop to start with, and he was messing around behind the plate, throwing balls to second base, and the coach said, yeah, coach asked him to do a couple more, and he ended up throwing the ball down to second base at about a 1.7, which is, you know, better than big league average or right.
Wow, yeah.
League average. Yeah, and he said, well, how do you feel about catching? And he said, sure, let's do it. So I guess the rest is history. He went on to play college ball, and I think he got signed out of junior college, and he played with the Yankees and all sorts of other teams, the Rangers, and now he's with the Pirates. So, so he was pretty outstanding even from an early age.
So I can see that you briefly played over in the Dutch league. Is that where you went kind of after you had that year off of college, or was there somewhere in between that you played as well?
That wasn't until 2007. I went to the Netherlands. College was 2000 and 2001. So I had a few years there where I came back home, played a little bit here, and I played in Germany actually a couple of years as well, just in the lower leagues for fun. I was there on a working holiday, so I wasn't really there to play baseball as such, but I thought, you know, why not? So ended up playing in like the third and fourth division for fun, which was outstanding. I got lifelong friends out of that league, which I'm still in touch with. So that filled in a little bit of time. And then my plan was to actually head back to Germany to play again and stay with the friends I'd made. And then the offer to play in Holland came up in 07, which was, you know, I jumped all over it.
And we know the Netherlands are doing very well at the moment in the Baseball Classic, and they did last time as well. Were you impressed by the standard over there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're just getting better and better. The more of the Dutch Antillean players that are getting involved, I think, you know, first World Baseball Classic, I think Andrew Jones was the only one, or at least the only one, that wasn't playing in the Dutch league. And then that number's increased to, you know, all kinds of numbers now with, you know, big leaguers left, right, and center in that lineup. I think they're a real chance at it, to be honest, with that sort of talent on display.
Yeah, definitely. So you made your way back to Australia in the end. Was that an offer that came in from the Blue Sox? Were you always looking to play for them, or how did that come about?
Well, the ABL started again back up in 2010. Before that happened, we still did have a national competition, but it was only for a 2-week period. And during that 2-week period, all of the, back then it was the state teams. So all of the state teams used to come together for a 2-week period and play each other. And then the winner was decided after that time. So I always played on that state team, which eventually evolved into the Blue Sox. So I'd already played with all of those guys for several years before that. And when the ABL started, it was just a natural continuation to keep playing with those same guys, but under a different name, which was the Blue Sox in the end.
And as that's gone on over the last 7 years or so, have you seen the standard kind of go up pretty rapidly with sort of the establishment of a more regular league?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. There's obviously the Australian part of the league is, it's a huge benefit for us to have the league. And then there's a whole bunch of imports which come in, which only strengthen the standard of the league. So yeah, it has increased for sure, the level of play, I would say.
Well, and how would you compare it at the moment if we were to kind of take the major leagues as an example? Is there a level you would say it's moderately equivalent to, or is that a bit of a difficult comparison to make?
It's not too difficult to compare. I never signed an affiliated contract in the States, so I can't personally compare it, but playing with a bunch of guys that have, I've talked endlessly about that. And from everything that I've listened to and understood, everyone says it's probably anywhere between low A and high A. You got a sprinkling of college guys, a whole bunch of A ballers, several double A, triple A, and then we've even got five or six or eight big leaguers playing in the league. So I think the general consensus is it's right around A ball level.
You've seen many people you've played with actually get scouted and go over to the States from Australia now. I know we've got quite a few Australians either in the majors or the minors. How often do you actually see teams kind of looking at players in the ABL?
It happens probably more than you'd think. There's been a few guys that have been signed and released, and then they've joined the ABL and have since been re-signed. Todd Van Steen, so who was on the Australian team, Aaron Suki at one point re-signed after playing with the Blue Sox. So it's a really good league for that sort of thing. If you're still pitching well in the league, then there's opportunities to be re-signed or signed for the first time. So I've seen plenty of import guys come over and have since made the big leagues. So it's a real good stepping stone and a real good second chance for most Aussies.
Yeah, definitely. Is there a big difference in terms of, you know, any of the aspects of the game? What kind of speed are the pitchers throwing? Would you say the fielding is drastically different? I'm kind of interested in what you think the biggest differences are between the ABL and maybe the kind of things you would see at the higher levels of the minors.
I guess that the biggest thing would just be consistency. The velocity is there from the pitches. There's no doubt. We've got guys in the league throwing 95. In saying that, there's guys that throw, you know, 80 as well. There's a big range. Like I said, it's more the consistency. It's producing the, you know, the desired effect time and time again. Whereas, you know, the big leagues or the higher levels, AAA, whatever, it's, you know, they can reproduce things consistently. Whereas the ABL, it's a little bit more of a younger league as far as the imports and things like that. So it's guys that are still developing and still learning that consistency.
And I know it's a much shorter season than we might be used to from Major League Baseball. What is everybody doing in the off season? Is there a lot of coaching going on, or are people going off to do other jobs for the most part and just coming back to baseball in November and when you start the season again?
Yeah, well, for the affiliated guys, obviously they're heading back to the States, and you know, we have some guys that go play in Europe and those sort of things. For the Aussies like myself, that I'm sort of heading towards the end of my career. You know, I've got full-time work outside of baseball. So it's things like that. Just a regular off season. There is a winter league as well, which a few guys play in, or actually a lot of guys play in, just to keep themselves going. But generally it's just, yeah, it's back to work, a little bit of rest. And for those guys, yeah, heading overseas to try and find somewhere else to play.
Yes. Speaking of overseas, we all know that you've pitched for Great Britain, obviously. When did that begin? Did somebody get in touch with you, or were you already aware that you would be eligible? Who was it who kind of started that link up?
That was me mostly. I started the process myself. There was another WBC qualifier in Sydney at that time, and there was a New Zealand team and a South African team that were playing in that qualifier, and several of the guys that I play on, like just club ball with, were playing on the New Zealand team, and I thought to myself that, you know, that must be amazing to do that. And I checked out the other qualifiers, and I saw that Great Britain were in one, and it was in September, and I thought, oh no, I've missed it. This is sort of, you know, this is January or February now, and I thought, oh no, I've missed it. It was in September, and then I looked a bit closer, and it was September the following year. So I was surprised and happy about that. And so I contacted Liam Carroll, the Great Britain manager, and we got in talks about eligibility and things like that. And, you know, six to 8 months of planning and finding passports and eligibility pathways and things like that. It had all eventually happened. So, yeah, it was pretty exciting.
And how is it that you're actually eligible? We've had Liam on, and we also had Jordan Serena, who played for GB obviously last year, and kind of we've heard all these different ways in which people are kind of find out. And Jordan said to us that he actually, you know, spoke to a couple of guys, and he didn't realize really that he would be able to play at all until somebody kind of came to him and said, oh, you should contact Liam about it.
Yeah. My grandparents are English. They migrated to Australia in the 50s. So my mum was born here, but being of, you know, she had British parents, which entitled her to a British passport. And then, yeah, as the eligibility criteria goes, you have to have a British, you know, have to have a parent that's a citizen of that country. So my mum being a citizen, made me eligible. So we didn't know at the time that she was a citizen. She never knew she could have a passport. So I did all the digging and the research, and, you know, we got her passport sorted, and that was the connection there. The passport unfortunately stopped with her, which means that I wouldn't be eligible to play for Great Britain in other tournaments, which is really disappointing. But, you know, I'll save it at the WBC and always have that memory, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. So bring us on to the WBC. The thing that actually got John to hook up with you in the first place was this tweet you sent out about the team ratings you came up with. So I kind of wanted to ask you about how you came up with those. What was your methodology and how did you compare the different teams when there's so many players in so many different leagues and at different standards?
Yeah, it's not a very scientific rating. I came up with a little on things like that. But basically, I broke it down. I just thought, MLB being the highest level that you can achieve, I gave each player on the team a maximum of 20 points. So if they played in the major leagues, I'd give them a rating for the highest level they reached and then the current level that they're at. So if it's a current major leaguer on the team, they'd be 20 points. And then I'd rate each player on each squad, come up with a points rating, and then I'd add it all up and then divide it by the maximum number of points, and I'd come to a percentage, and then that's basically the number. So I'd give, Japan was a 9 out of 10, and then the AAA would be an 8 out of 10, and so on and so forth. And a lot of the leagues were hard to come up with a points rating, but the Dominican Republic League, the Venezuelan, Puerto Rico, Mexico, they were all around 8 or 9 points. Just trying to use info that other guys have told me about those leagues and things like that. So that's generally it. And then if guys were current all-star, I'd give them extra points and things like that. So that's why I find the USA and Dominican Republic a little bit above 100. Just because they've got current all-stars and stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So in relation to these, who has really kind of surprised you, impressed you, teams or players that you didn't really think that much of or know much about and have kind of come out and really shown that some talent above what we might have expected at the tournament?
Well, I guess there generally hasn't been too much of a surprise looking at the the chart. It's actually worked out fairly accurately, I think, so far. I think the Italians played better than I rated them. They've definitely impressed. USA, Dominican, they're right up there still. Puerto Rico, it's no surprise. They're headed to LA with their win earlier today. Mexico, a little bit of surprise. I guess they were knocked out. But I guess maybe the biggest surprise is Israel. As far as how far they've gone and where I rated them. I'm not surprised at the success they're having as far as they've got some real quality players and they've got big league talent pretty much all the way through the lineup, if not AAA. And as I rated them, they were pretty high. So, but in saying that, nobody expected them to do as well as they have. But, it's no real surprise given the experience, I guess.
Yeah, and speaking of Israel, you obviously played them relatively recently in the qualifier. Did you kind of think that they were going to do well when you faced them then, or is this still kind of a little bit above what you expected after having played them?
I'm not surprised at all, really. When we played them, I actually said to several guys back here, and they said, "Oh, Israel, you lost to Israel." And I said, yeah, those guys are completely stacked. So even back in the qualifier, when they won that final, I knew that they'd be really good in this tournament. So not really surprised at all, to be honest.
And in terms of GB, I know you haven't actually got a rating for them yet, but where do you think they would stack up? Do you think they would give some people a run for their money in being able to get through to the second round? Or is it still a few years away yet, maybe?
I think... Had we qualified, I think we would have surprised some people. I think probably the biggest letdown is the depth. Once we kind of got through the higher level pitches and stuff like that, I think we that was our weakness. But in saying that, had we qualified, I think a couple of guys maybe would have been available. Jacob Esch, who got called up, and there's a couple other guys, and who knows who they would have found. But I'd probably, according to sort of the ratings I've given, I probably would have put us in around 60, between 50 and 60, somewhere in there. And it's just the depth that lets us down. It's not the quality of players. It's just the depth. So, guys have got major league arms in the bullpens, whereas we had college guys and stuff like that. So I think that's the biggest difference I found.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I will link to these ratings in the show notes, so if people want to follow along, and they are very accurate, actually. I think the teams that have made it through are all kind of towards the top end here, especially. I think I've been very impressed by Puerto Rico with Baez and Lindor up the middle. They look a really exciting team.
Absolutely. I saw an interview with Baez this afternoon, and he said, you know, they're just having fun, and you know, they're coming out and playing for your country is a huge difference, I think, too. So you get a bunch of guys together from the same country, or in my case, my adopted country, or whatever you want to call it. It brings out something extra in you. And I think those guys are really enjoying playing for the countries at the moment.
Yeah, they certainly seem to be having a great time. Baez is one of those guys who always seems to have boundless enthusiasm for the game. So it's really, really good to see him out there having so much fun. I wanted to just kind of finish up on where you think the tournament is going. We're obviously nearly into the semi-finals now. We've just got one more round of the second group to go. So who do you think is going to take it all? Have you got a favourite for the overall win? Or is it too close to call, you think, between those top three or four?
Yeah, I think it's a bit too close to call. The USA got Dominican Republic tomorrow. But Puerto Rico are 5-0, I think, at this point. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they won it. You know, it's so hard to pick. The Netherlands might be tested a little bit with their depth. I mean, they've got an amazing starting lineup, but the depth maybe isn't there. But I wouldn't rule them out. The USA, how can you rule them out? Dominican Republic. I mean, any one of those teams, I think, can win it. So it's pretty hard to call, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's very close, and especially this is very different from what we would normally get, even compared to the playoffs in baseball, where you do get several games with the one-off scenario. I don't know how you feel about it as a player, but it certainly seems like at this kind of level of talent, almost anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. It really comes down to execution on the day. Any one of those top, you know, any one of the semi-final teams could win it. It just depends who executes well on the day. So,
yeah, just one final thing. As you're in Australia, we've been having some trouble over here with the kind of the TV rights and actually being quite difficult to watch. I know quite a lot of the British fans have been kind of wanting to tune in and not been able to see it. Is it easy to watch the WBC over there? And are there a lot of Australians interested in the tournament?
The first part of your question, yeah, it has been really difficult to find it. We've got ESPN through our local cable system here, which has been broadcasting only the games that Australia has been involved in and that particular pool. So we saw Netherlands versus Israel and Cuba and those sort of things in Japan. All of those games are broadcast on that Fox, on the Foxtel network. But anything other than that pool, it's been basically impossible. You've had to find live streams online and, you know, Mexican broadcasts online and things like that. So it's been pretty hard to find, which is really disappointing too. There's been blackouts and things like that apparently. So pretty disappointing.
Yeah, we agree. I think Tom mentioned that they sent out a tweet, the people behind the World Baseball Classic account, sort of something along the lines of the world is watching, are you? And I think they got a lot of angry responses from people all around the world who definitely weren't watching because they weren't able to. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, the FIFA World Cup is broadcast to pretty much every country on earth. And, you know, every country has their own local provider of the coverage and things like that. And it's a shame because I've been really super excited about this WBC, and I know that the baseball community here has been as well. And there's been a fair bit of anger among the community here, as you know, directed at MLB and why it hasn't been broadcast, you know, more openly and things like that. So hopefully, you know, they fix it for the next one, because I'm sure a lot of people here would be interested in watching it.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Hopefully this wakes them up to the fact that there are people in these countries who certainly can't see it, at least in a legal fashion. So yeah, maybe in the next one we'll all be able to watch it a bit more easily.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah. Okay, I think that about wraps us up. Thank you all for joining us in this episode of Batflips and Nerds. I'd like to thank Vaughan for joining me. Where can people find you on Twitter, Vaughan? Is there anything you'd like to plug yourself?
No, I'm on Twitter. I'm at VaughnH34. If anyone out there is following me, I don't have too much to say, but every now and then put stuff out. Just enjoying the off season, and I'm going to start my pre-season work in about April, May. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, good luck for the season, and thank you again for joining us.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I've been your host, Darius Austin, and you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. You can contact the show on Twitter at batflips_nerds and on Facebook, facebook.com/batflipsandnerds. If you'd like to email us, you can send us one over at batflipsandnerds@gmail.com. And if you can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, please do give us a rating or review. It makes it easier for people to find us. And also tell your baseball friends about us. Even if they're not British, we welcome all sorts. Thank you again for downloading and listening, and goodbye.